This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism, hashtag podcast, hashtag broad on Joy 94.9.
This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9, Echoes. It's at Theatre Works in Melbourne, September 20 to the 25th, part of the Fringe Festival. And I have in the studio, I'm speaking to two echoes, one echo, Rachel Smith and Philippa Bracansa.
Hello.
Yes. What is Echoes all about?
Echoes tells two stories. So they're two monologues intercut. We never actually interact with each other. So they're two separate stories going on. One of the stories, so my character, Samira, is set in modern day. She's a young British Muslim girl who is feeling disillusioned with society, feeling a bit of prejudice after, I guess, 9/11. And she decides that she's going to go to Syria to join ISIS. And then Rachel's character, Tilly. Do you want to go into that?
Yes, later? My character, Tilly. Tilly is from the Victorian era. Mm-hmm. So quite a broad span between the two characters. And she is trying to find a husband, but there are no eligible men in her small town of Ipswich. So she goes off to India to find a husband. And it's about her journey.
So it draws the parallels between what these two women think their duty is to society. So they're both going off to try to figure out what it is that they can be useful for. So the so Samira's character, she goes off to Syria, but she does so after meeting an ISIS soldier online. And so she goes off to marry him and to you know, to be there for him. Same with Tilly, goes off to be there. But then obviously when they arrive, it's slightly different to what they had expected.
Right.
And they have to grow up quite quickly, I think.
So it's really about, this arranged marriages and, 100 years difference, I suppose, culturally.
Yeah, 175.
Yeah. 175 years difference. Wow. Yeah.
But a lot of similarities
in their lives and experiences.
Yeah. Wow, interesting. Because, of course, we're a show abroad and we like to fly the feminist flag. So, yes, call this a feminist production, would you say?
There is definitely a feminist undercurrent here, simply because these two girls feel frustrated in what it is that they can contribute to society. So for Tilly's character in the Victorian era, she is expected to marry a well-off man. So her parents are expecting her to marry a man and to be a housewife, which is something she's not particularly drawn to. My character, she's feeling frustrated, I suppose, because given the current political situation in the UK and in the US, you know, and what's happening in the Middle East, it's difficult for a young Muslim girl to find her place. Actually, at the time when Echoes first went up a year ago in Edinburgh, three girls had just gone from a school in London to Syria. And what happens is, you know, these girls, they go off because they think that that's how they're going to better society, because they're going to help. They're going to be real Muslims. This is what they're thinking. But then the problem is when they get there and it's not really what they thought it was going to be, and they see the atrocities that ISIS are carrying out, they can't really return because now they're terrorists, you know. So not only do they not fit in the place that they've gone to, but then they can't really come back. And it's much more difficult for women because, as we know, ISIS, the way that they treat women, they have a lot less freedoms than the ISIS male soldiers do. So the women have to, they have to wear the burqa. They can't go outside unaccompanied by a man. A lot of their freedom is taken away. So there is definitely a beautiful feminist undercurrent, which I think
yes.
is super cool.
And how they, yeah. and their journey of how they get to where they do.
Yeah, and then there, and then how they behave once they get there and they realise it's not what they wanted. Mm. It's a question of, do they just put up with it and carry on, or do they do something about it
yeah,
and
take
fight
control.
Back?
Yeah,
and they do.
It's fight back. Exciting. Yeah. That's spoiling it too much for anyone. But yeah, that's a hard thing to think. I mean, when it did premiere, was it an Edinburgh Festival Fringe?
Yes.
Yeah. What was? Do you know? Were you there?
Yes. So
when the response.
So
and
Rachel,
reaction?
As yep. the playing Tilly, she's just come on board. Mm. She's done a week at Brisbane Festival.
Yep.
I started it in Edinburgh a year ago, and the response it was. It's really interesting because people wanted to talk about the issue of these young girls, these young Muslim girls going abroad, because it's difficult to understand why they're drawn to this, because we think we know what ISIS is like, and so we wouldn't dream of going to join them. But it was nice to see that people wanted to talk about it, that this was a topic that people were hungry to talk about. Sometimes people shy away from it because it's quite controversial. There are lots of, you know, nuances about it that are maybe difficult to understand. Just these girls in these schools, it's they can go and talk to their teachers about it, or they can go and talk to their parents, or they can go and talk to their friends, but they're not really going to understand. And recently there was a girl who so the teachers are now responsible for finding out if any of these young people are becoming radicalized. And the teachers have to tell the police. And there was a case of a girl whose teacher did go to the police, and her passport was taken away. All of her sister's passports were taken away. And that's the sort of reaction that they get. So it's not an atmosphere of openness and wanting to talk about. So it was nice in Edinburgh to have that reaction, where people were coming up and in interviews and in reviews, they wanted to flesh out this issue, which was nice.
That's really intense. It's incredibly intense. And to get prepared for this character, how much did you yourself investigate and research?
There was a lot of research involved. So
Samira.
So Echoes is written by wonderful, wonderful writer Henry Naylor, who unfortunately couldn't be here. But he did a lot of research for the show. He spent almost 2 years researching it. He actually went out to Afghanistan with a friend of his to kind of, this was before the story was established. And so he would tell me lots of the things that he had encountered out there. He would send me articles, videos. So the research that I did was watching, it's all on YouTube, it's all online, was watching videos of girls who are living out there. There aren't many of the girls, there are lots of the male soldiers, so you can get an idea of what their mentality is and how they treat the women. You can read stories of these girls who went out there and then what happens to them once they've gone. And then the other thing is doing lots of research on the Muslim community in the UK, just finding out what it is that makes these girls feel like they don't fit in to where they're living.
So what would attract them and appeal to them to
think about
joining?
Exactly. ISIS. So the beginning of the show goes into what's going on at the time in the UK, which is the general election, and how people are voting, and they're voting for a party that's quite right wing, and sort of there's a anti-Muslim feel to it, and the amount of people that are voting for it makes these young people feel like, oh, maybe people don't want us here, maybe we don't fit in, even though she was born there, you know, maybe we're not supposed to be here. And then just certain remarks that are made in school, kids who, you know, obviously they're just listening to other people saying things, and then they say things, and it makes her feel unwelcome. So just researching that and trying to get into her headspace and trying to understand why it is that she would do that. And actually, it's not so difficult to understand.
Yeah. And these are the things that people don't realise, the results of things like Islamophobia, and these things lead to some people doing something very drastic.
Exactly.
It's running away at the end of the day. It's running away, and it's certainly not a circus they're joining, but it's a very dangerous time, and for these girls, they're so vulnerable.
It's true.
On so many levels.
Because when you can't talk to the people you love about the doubts that you're having, and then there's somebody who is listening to you, who is halfway across the world, but they're listening to you and they're saying to you, you know, what you're feeling isn't wrong.
Yes.
You're right. It's
That's
just
dangerous.
It's just that you're not in the right, amongst the right group of people. Come to us. You'll see that here is where, you know, and they get told these things, and then they believe that, that they're going to be doing something worthwhile.
Yes. Yeah. It's a real predicament, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if they have any sort of therapist training groups in the UK.
There are more anti-radicalization groups.
Yeah.
And actually it's been interesting. A lot of people have said it would be useful to have echoes being performed in schools just to get people talking about it so that it's not this taboo subject.
Well, you'll certainly be busy if they do that. You might have to clone yourself. I don't know. But that's the thing, echoes. And through the ages, echoes echoing with what happened to a lot of British women. At this time, this is before the suffragette era really kicked off.
Yeah.
And it must have been so repressive because I remember, I think it was Jane Austen, something like that, where she talks about, well, there's not a lot for women to do except needlepoint and wait for a husband.
Yeah, and men didn't want women to be clever and have a voice.
No,
and
just stick to needlepoint and make cups of tea.
Just do what they're told, look after children.
And so your character, Tilly, you know, having to leave obviously somewhere where maybe she's more accepted compared to 175 years later, Samaria, maybe she's more accepted, I don't know, but still quite cloistered and sheltered and repressed, but then having to move to a country that's totally culturally different for a guy that she's never met, I presume a white person, it'll be a white husband.
I mean, she joins the fishing fleet, which basically was hundreds of young women going off to find men in India because that's where they were fighting. That's where all the eligible bachelors were, basically.
So that's what they called it, the fishing fleet.
The fishing fleet, yeah. She joins the fishing fleet.
Wow.
So, yeah, because there's just no men at home for her. So she has to go find a husband out there, basically, and that was quite a common thing in those times. So
she hardly hear about that kind of history, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never heard of it before this play, and then I started researching it. It's weird, just all these women being batched out to find husbands.
It's terrible. It is terrible. It's like we can't. Yeah, but it's happening. It's happening in today's. You know,
exactly.
Obviously, there's the echo or the reflection of the similar sort of things, and the trials, and women are still going through this.
Yeah, and I think Henry does really well is he tries to highlight the similarities of, I suppose the atrocities of what the British Empire did in the past that we don't really talk about in the UK anymore. Yeah. You know?
Why don't we talk about, I mean, Brexit, it's, how do you feel about that? Just in a sentence?
It was a total shock for most.
Was it? I think it was a shock for everyone.
Really? You didn't expect it to go that far?
I think whichever way you voted, it was a shock, I think, no matter what you thought. I think everyone, no matter what you voted, I think everyone thought actually it wouldn't actually happen.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was we're based in London and, you know, our generation in London voted overwhelmingly to stay.
To stay,
in the
and
European
of course,
Union.
So again, you're sort of in
so
a...
So we're in a bubble.
Little bubble. And a nice bubble. Mm. An interesting
a
bubble.
A very nice bubble.
But still, here comes a prick, excuse me. Yeah. And dear. Waking up to that. I mean, we were shocked down here. We were scratching our heads going, how could Britain be like that? Surely, you know, because again, there are bubbles here too, which are similar to your bubbles. And we're all like going, oh, geez.
Well, we're still to find out what it all means, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does it? I mean, do we know? Do they know?
Well, I think one of the saddest things to come from not just the result, but from the campaigns, was there was a real xenophobic
it was nasty,
vibe about
horrible.
The whole thing. And again, you know, coming back to Samira's story, is how is she supposed to grow up as a young Muslim girl when there are things in the news and things in the newspapers that are blaming foreigners for all of these problems?
Yeah.
So that was the saddest thing to go through with Brexit, I think, because we're still to find out what the result means, you know. But it's hard to see people divided and blaming people who really aren't to blame, you know. So that was not pleasant.
No. Bit of a shock.
And how's it affected your performances? Like, you're taking this all on board and now you've jumped onto the fishing fleet. You've come, you know, so to speak, you've come to Australia.
I think it just makes it more relevant.
It really
does. I would love for Echoes one day to not be relevant, but unfortunately it's becoming more and more. I remember I don't know if you remember when the Paris attacks happened.
Yes. Wow.
We were due to open in London on the Monday and the attacks happened on the Friday night. And it was just, you know, we were debating whether or not to put the show on because we thought maybe it would be insensitive. But then we did, and people just really wanted to come and see it and then stay behind after and talk about what had happened, just because that energy was in the air, that people were so shocked by what happened. And the more we treat people, the more that you because you do radicalize people when you're not open enough and when you're not welcoming,
when you're not listening to them,
they feel like they'd be put on the edge. And unfortunately it's happening more and more. I don't really see a change in that. So it just helps me to understand the character, and unfortunately it's very relevant. But there are funny moments in the show.
Yes, it's not all serious business.
So the writer, Henry Naylor, he actually started out as a comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, maybe so satirically. I guess comedians can be pretty...
there's a lot of dry humour in there.
Yeah, so he wrote for Spitting Image for years.
Oh,
and,
yes.
He started out as a comedy writer and performer. And he talks about this trip that he went on to Afghanistan, because he was writing satirical comedy about, you know, politics. And as soon as he went out to Afghanistan, he says it changed the way that he looked at writing, and it totally changed what he thought his role was. And instead of writing, you know, satirical jokes and digs at politicians, he felt like he could make a better contribution by going into serious drama. But that comedic flair is still there.
Still there.
Yeah. And it makes...
It's probably necessary.
It is. It really is, because it makes the show bearable. You know, it makes those moments of gloom bearable.
And I think it makes the characters seem more real. More relatable for the audience as well.
Because you do.
Because they are just young girls. They're spirited.
Yeah, when terrible things happen. It's funny how you'll get the person who'll crack a joke.
Exactly.
And thank God they do, because it's like gives oxygen to, you know, you can actually take a breath.
I think that's how we deal with really unfortunate circumstances, is we have to find the humour in it.
Yeah, even though it's distasteful.
Absolutely.
You know, if that's what it takes within reason, obviously, parameters of, I mean, in Australia, we have got this politician. I think she's supposed to be a politician, but I don't know. Pauline Hanson, have you heard of her?
She makes a feature in the show.
Yes, she does.
Oh, really?
She does.
Cool.
Oh, great. So
she's a very interesting character.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we have, you know, an equivalent in the UK.
I'm sure there are equivalent.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But she's just, because you've just had an election, haven't you? So, and she's won.
Yeah.
She's in there, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in there. But no, it's like, oh dear, how did this happen? How on earth?
And she had to be a woman as well, didn't she?
And a redhead. I was like, whoa, naturally red, I believe. Stereotypes aside, prejudices. There are similarities here, and misunderstandings and obviously a lot of prejudice and xenophobia. It's just, you know, it's just awful. It's just awful. So I think Echoes is certainly something that everyone can probably relate to at this stage point in human history.
Yeah, it just feels like the Muslim community is being, you know, targeted for what a very small
Well, if anything goes wrong, it's, you know, blame the Muslims pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Why aren't they doing foreigners? This and why aren't they doing yes. that?
And society is just pushing them away more and more.
That's whereas the harmful. Opposite is required.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you know, imagine if they did that with Mormons or something. You know, watch out when they come knocking on your door. You know, you've got to watch out because, you know, it's those short sleeves and white shirts. I mean, gone are the days where they weren't allowed to expose their elbows. And they weren't allowed to swim, things like that.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
Do you have Why a Mormon community here in Australia?
No, I'm from New Zealand. There's a big Mormon community in New Zealand. Right. Oh, scary, scary stuff, to be honest.
How does the rest of the population take to...
Yeah.
Deal with the Mormons. The Mormon problem. Mormon phobia. yeah, no, they put up with them. We all put up with them. It's like, yeah, yeah. Go back to Utah. See, what they do is they send... It's very sexist as well. Because what they do is they send the male elders, who are like these young 20-year-old guys, to places like New Zealand and Australia to get brides, you see, to pick potential girls. And it's really disturbing.
I'm like, beginning really. To see a
similarity.
Similarities here.
You should pass that on to Henry. Has he thought about doing exposing the Mormons? Mormon phobia, yeah.
Well, he's actually, Henry, it's funny because he gets asked a lot how he manages to write such great roles for women. Because as actors, you know, it's tough for girls sometimes to find roles where there's an empowered character.
And you're not just talking to men or a sidekick. Or
and
men.
He gets asked, well, how did you manage to get into the head of these women? And he's just written, and so the play that he wrote after Echoes, which I'm in, we've just done it in Edinburgh, called Angel, is about a Kurdish fighter who's fighting ISIS in Syria. So in, this is a true story. So in 2014, there was a town called Kobani where ISIS were trying to take over. And there's a group, and this is fascinating, this group, if anybody is interested, called the YPJ.
Oh, yes, we did a little thing on a news story on them abroad.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
And they are just incredible, these women, young women training.
They're
Kurdish, yes.
Yeah.
Fighting to keep their towns intact and fighting ISIS. And so he's written this show about one of these girls. And so he gets asked a lot, you know, how is it you're writing for just women? It's not coincidence. And it's really sweet. He's got a young daughter. And he says that when she was born, he just felt like he would like the world that she grows up in to be a little bit different. To be a little bit easier, to be a little bit better, a bit more freedom for her. And so it's really lovely to have somebody writing parts, empowering parts for women.
We need really more Henry Naylors.
We do.
Are you listening to that, Henry? Thank you. Thanks for Echoes. And so what's that one called?
It's called Angel.
Angel. Angel.
And it'll be on... it's going to the Adelaide Fringe in February.
Okay. Is that its debut, is it? Adelaide Fringe or...?
It started in Edinburgh.
Oh, it's already...
We just had a run in
Edinburgh. Oh, okay. Cool.
So, but we're coming to Australia because we love it here.
Pauline Hanson or not? Yeah. That's cool. Well, look, thank you so much. Time is flying and we'll just wrap it up there. But Echoes by Henry Naylor, it's on at Theatreworks here in Melbourne. Very lucky to have that. And for a short limited season from September the 20th to 25th, part of Fringe Festival, just go to melbournefringe.com.au/program event and just, just pop in the word Echoes, and that will come up and let you know how to book. And everything, it's on, it's Ackland Street, so St Kilda, the lovely Theatre Works. Have you been down there yet? You've only just arrived yesterday.
Yes, we've gone into
You've gone
the
and had
space,
a look.
Beautiful space.
Oh, yes.
We've had our tech.
It's massive.
So
it's quite, the stage part's quite big, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really high ceilings. Lots of space. We use hardly any space.
Yeah.
we use this little bit and then the rest gets lost.
Well, maybe you can... expand on that or something. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, good luck. And thank you for coming in, Rachel Smith.
Thank you.
And Philippa Brickenser.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We got it right. Thank you. That's Echoes. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune in to us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.